I believe in giving up or serving more. I truly do, and I hope that you do also. And we're just going to get into the Word tonight, and we're going to get into communion. It's going to be a wonderful, wonderful time. If there's any shows on, we won't be going past 8 o'clock, I can tell you that. We have some goodies in there. We might even have some goodie time. But we're in the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, and verse 10. And this is what the writer, of which is Paul, said. Finally, I'm gonna paraphrase it. Finally, brothers and sisters, be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord. You know, we've seen people go on their own steam in many different ways and accomplish great things. But the word it tells us here to be strong in the Lord. Be empowered by your union with God the Father. There's a lot of things that people can be empowered by. But believers should try to zero in. What does it mean to be a Christian? What does it mean to be empowered by God? What does it mean to walk in God's strength? And it means something than just going on your own. We have seen many people famous and with many talents and good things go, and many of them, Frank Sinatra wrote a song that was called "I Did It My Way." I think the worst trail, if you're on that trail tonight, that you can be on is to try to do something your way. Instead, it's better to be strong in the Lord and in the power of what he has to say. As it says up there, be strong in the Lord and then the power of his might. There's a way to plug into the might of the Lord, and it's an easier life. It's a better life, and it's a more effective life also. So first of all, be strong in God. And as you're thinking tonight, and as you're about to examine your hearts, most of you, this is, of course, open communion. I say it every week. Nobody has to take communion, and everybody is allowed to take communion. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Learn, what does it mean? Ask God. David prayed, Lord, help me to live the way you want. Teach me how to live the way you want me to. And I think a great prayer would be, teach me how to live strong in you, God, because that's a greater strength than anything else. I think that's the most important thing I can say about that. And draw your strength from God. And we think, you know, media like television and other things, it make you think that we're all children of God. We're all going to the same place. Well, I have to disagree with that. I don't believe that. I believe that a person must be born again, and then they can be many other things. I was talking with a fella yesterday, and we started out talking. We had words that were not great words. And as I listened to him and his line of thinking, he had felt like I had harmed him or wronged him in some way. And, you know, when you meet a stranger, it was on the phone, and I just said, I was wrong. And then I asked the most important question you can ask another Christian. Will you forgive me? And then all of a sudden, he said, well, I was wrong too. And some good things became of it. And we met not very much, about 30 minutes later. And I said, Bill, I asked you on the phone, what is the one thing that we could pray about above any other thing? You know, I ask that all the time. I believe I ask that today. I ask it almost every day of my life to people because it's a way to witness. Invite them to church. Be caring about and try to get them to let you pray for them. course, and try that, because that's what it means to be a witness. I've been a soul winner for many years. When I got born again, I had people in my house. I was leading people in the sinner's prayer immediately. Why? Well, that's just the way God planned it for me and the way that he had it. And I just want to say to you, let's be strong in the Lord and in the power of the Lord's might. It's the best for you. It's the best condition for you. And then now let's go a little further in there and put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the doings of the devil. That word wiles means doings of the devil. Satan, as you look at Scripture, it's good to know your enemy so you don't meet out the same corner in the middle of the night and him with a gun and you with a knife, so to speak. We need to think about what the Word says so that you can be able to stand against what the devil's doing. How many of you in your walk or your life, you not only do you realize there's a God, you realize there is a devil. And he's got a purpose. And it isn't to just have tea and crumpets with you and make you feel that you're great, because that's the least that he wants to do. He wants to destroy your life any way that he can. And in verse 11 there, we'll look at it again. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. God will supply you with what you need to overcome Satan. But it has to be a priority. It has to be something you want to do. And what's confusing is we have to get to the place where we where we don't want to go along with Satan. I think the thing about the church that I've seen since 1971 is that the church many times is not willing to say, hey, I sin and I need a high priest. And if you don't address something, it's hard to get rid of any part of it. When you begin to realize, I tell you, it was regretful to me to find out that after I got born again, the summer of 1971, that I could still sin, and I still did sin. And I was confused by my own confusion, which the devil was laying on me. I just walked in to see what condition my condition was in, so to speak, if you know the song. But anyhow, you have to want something. And in the next few minutes, I'm going to appeal to that. Before you can get it, before you can have it, because Jesus Christ, whatever denomination he wears down here, he's just not forceful. He made you in his image as he did from the very beginning. He got Adam, created him, and he brought all the animals, I believe in Genesis 5, before Adam to see what Adam would call them. And whatever Adam said, that's what they were called. And so it is with you. He loves you and he's interested in you and he wants to help you. That has to be something that you want. And I hope that you want it more by the end of this service and that we can just be honest about some things. I think that's what will help. All right. Put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For, here's the verse, my key verse. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we are wrestling against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. And this morning, yesterday morning as I woke up, it was just contemplating the day, I had a vision and I saw the earth. And I saw it as it is now and will continue to be like. The earth was full of darkness over the whole earth. And as I looked, I could see hands coming up and faces and bodies and different things coming up. And I said, Lord, what does these things mean? He said, son, the people that you're going to speak to have heard this over and over, but they need to hear it tonight. You're not wrestling against flesh and blood. You're wrestling, and the only way to win consistently is this. You have to realize that your enemy isn't a person or your government or your situation in life. Your enemy is the devil. And he comes to just do three things found in John 10:10. Repeat it with me if you know it. For the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I've come, but Jesus has come, that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And that word life means the God kind of life. The life that God created man to have. You could have that through the work of Jesus, which all of the major denominations agree to Jesus. You can have those things through Jesus and what Jesus means to all of us. So we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities and darkness and spiritual wickedness in high places. And I was just sitting there, and the Lord said, Angela, what you need to realize and what I want you to tell people tonight, the title of my message is this, Piercing the Darkness. God wants us to pierce the darkness. The only way that you can do that is through a born-again life with Jesus and prayer, deep, sincere, intelligent prayer. And I saw it. He said, Angelo, I want you to go up. What God wants done is this here. When we're doing what God wants every day, we're piercing that darkness constantly. We're getting and going through it, and we're rising up above that darkness. We're rising up to where the good things are. Like God, if you could put up Hebrews 4:16, it fits better here where I'm going to put it than where I wrote it down at. Hebrews 4:16 says this, let us, the believers, the children of God, let us come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now, we're regularly in some kind of need, aren't we? That's the truth, isn't it? Is anybody, well, no, I've got weeks and months that I never have a need. Well, yeah, I wouldn't put my hand up here. I was baiting you. That's just not the case. In this world, John 16:33, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. And if you'll search for me in the scriptures and do what the word of God says, and put yourself on the back burner and put other people, as Frank said, in front of you, before you. If you'll put the desires of God before you, that's how you begin to get sin out of your life. And make no mistake, one of the big ideas about communion is it deals with Christian sin regularly. It should be taken regularly. And that's why we have done like we have for so many years. So let us enter boldly, and boldly is up. Boldly is being where God is. It's breaking through. You can have that breakthrough every day if you'll strive for it. Let us enter boldly. That's up. Heaven is up. Heaven is higher than the clouds or anywhere else. I did a little study on that today. And we need to enter there boldly. We need to know what we're doing. Any of you that's had, and so few of us have, some have had a good relationship with a mother or father or both, you didn't have any troubles coming to them and asking them for something, especially if you knew they had it. And see, whatever you need, God has. Whatever you need, God can give it to you. Now, I got one better than that. Whatever you need, God wants to give it to you. But you have to learn his ways. You have to learn how to ask. You have to learn how to take communion. You have to learn how to be honest with God. And for goodness sake, you got to learn how to be honest with yourself. You just have to be honest. You cannot afford the luxury of keeping any habitual sins in your life. Maybe the worst of the whole bunch is unforgiveness toward others. You cannot afford that luxury. It costs you too much. It costs you much answered prayer. We know the word says in 1 Peter chapter 3, it says that we better watch how we get along with our marriage partner, because if we don't, it'll hinder our prayers. Now, I didn't say that. The Apostle Paul, through the direction of the Holy Spirit, who is part of the Trinity, said that. And we just need to realize these things. And if we look around to the left and the right, do you know that tonight, maybe all of us are born again, but you know we all need Jesus? We just all need the Lord still. You know, I was sadly astounded when I found I could still sin after I got born again. And I didn't understand it for a while, and I had to struggle with that. So I spent many months in my room alone just trying to pray and just trying to read, just trying to understand what is this thing called the gospel. I was not raised in church. But anyhow, let's remember those thoughts. Let's remember what I just said, because what I've just mentioned is for tonight. It's what you'd like to do with this service. It's a communion service, and we don't force anybody to do anything here. And you can take communion or not take communion. You can take it correctly, or you can just try to go along with everybody else. I would rather not know. I just like to think that everybody wants the best that God can do for them, because that's where God is with every one of you tonight. He wants to help every one of you. I have the best voice. People are falling asleep left and right. And I love it. And I'm not just talking about our beloved deacon. No, there's others in here that are there. And that's fine. It ain't bothering me. I'm going to keep talking. And I'm going to stop somewhere before 8 o'clock, and we're going to take communion. Then some of you are going to go back there and get some goodies, and some of you are just going to go to the door, and that's fine. We just love everybody in here. We don't judge. Nobody in here in the leadership of this church feels like we have the right to judge anybody else, because we ain't no better. That's just the truth. We're just people, just like you. We may not be as good, I don't know, but I just want you to get something. I want your heart to be touched, if possible. Turn with me, if you would, please. At this point, I'll try to raise my voice up and down a little bit and do all kinds of things to keep people with me. Oh, wait a minute. It's only 10 more minutes. I can make it. Let's look at 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. And this is what the Word of God says. Anybody that's born again, and this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And that's the wrong verse. I'm sorry. It's 1 John 5 and 4. That verse comes up later. I've been hopping around. Please forgive me. I've been jungling these. For whosoever, it says whatsoever, but it means whosoever is born of God. See, now what does that mean? And stays with God. See, you could be born. That's a wonderful thing. You can be born, but are you born of God, and are you still born? I mean, are you working with the Lord in your life? I would say that for people to come out on Wednesday night like this here and take communion, I would say that you're trying to work out your salvation. People that are working out their salvation, one of the things that they stumble into and they can realize is that taking communion is important. Taking communion is for Christian people more than for sinners. Now, we don't judge people. However you stand in here, that's fine. We're glad you're here. We'll be happy if you'll take communion with us. We'll be happy if you don't. We'll try to help you, and we'll try to pray for you. If anybody wants prayer and hear from me tonight, sometimes right before the service, I'm trying to get things together in my head, but I'll stick around for a minute. If you need prayer from me, my wife, and probably my daughter and Frank, you just stick around. We'll pray for you. See, that's the most important thing, is that we give you something that you can take home that's precious to you that'll work. By the way, when I asked that man, I said, what's the one thing? What's the one thing that you want me to pray for, that you'll let me pray? This is a person, literally an hour before, we were conflicted a little bit. You know what I had to decide? Do I want to be arguing with somebody and win an argument, or do I want to win his heart? And I'm going to tell you. I said these words to somebody I hadn't even seen. I just saw him on the phone. I said, I was wrong. And then I asked him a question. See, if people are going to tell me they're Christians and tell me what church to go to, then my next question always this: will you forgive me? Will you forgive me what I did? You could tell that hadn't happened to him that week so far, as of yesterday. And he said, well, he didn't know what to say, and then he began to say, you know, I was wrong too. I was wrong. I just immediately thought one thing, and I said, well, I forgive you. I said, especially if you'll forgive me. I said, and then I asked him, and this, I get this much of the time. I said, what is the one thing? If you want to touch somebody, you might start with people that you know or whatever. I never met a stranger. Sherry's dad, Larry, he said, I can tell that about you. That's the truth about you. What is the one thing that we could pray about that if God would answer that prayer would mean the most to you tonight? You know what it was? I can tell you. Finances. Finances. His words were sometimes at the end of the month. So, and family is another one. There are just a few main things that are bothering people and hurting people. Finances was his. And this man was of another faith. I don't want to say too much. I want to stay completely away from thinking him out, especially when I'm being recorded a little bit here. It was finances. And I asked him a question, and he said yes to it. You know what it was? We're standing out in front of on the road by my house. I said, Bill, can I lay my hands on you? And it's not the Bill. You don't know this Bill. So don't laugh too much. I guarantee you don't know this Bill. I'll tell you who it is afterwards if you give me a dollar. Just teasing. I've got a thing that I'm a money grubber and this and that over the years. I've heard it all. You know what? Let me just say this from this pulpit here. And not anybody else, just me. Just me. I don't want your money. I want God's money. I'm a collector of God. I'm one of the collectors of God's money. And I could point to you in this service. And you've never had a problem with tithing. I don't even know if I've ever even, some of you, I've never even talked to you about it, I don't think. Mary, did I ever talk to you about tithing? No. The ones you got to talk to is the ones that won't do it. Now, they got me on a short leash here, and I don't talk too much, but I still know what I know, let me tell you. And I asked them a question. Here was the question. Now, I'm going to tell the denomination, you still won't know who this is. But I'm going to tell this denomination because this denomination is huge. He's a Baptist. His name is Bill. That's all I'm saying, even if you give me $2. And I asked them the supreme question to ask the Baptist when you're praying for them and you just met them 30 minutes ago. I said, Bill, I'm going to pray for that. And then I asked them the main question. Maybe I said, can I lay hands on you? You know what he said? Absolutely. At first he was saying, "What? You say you're a pastor? You don't seem like a pastor. What church?" I said, well, Paris Christian Center. My daughter's the pastor there now, but I'm one of the pastors. And we just, one word turned him around. And think about what you want to do with your life. Everybody say this word. I was wrong. Say this. Sometimes I'm wrong. See? You can either say that or you can't. And if you see, it doesn't matter to me when I'm dealing with somebody's soul whether I'm right or not. I say that I'm wrong. Why? Because I'm a soul winner before I'm anything else. I want to win people's souls. I want people to be led to Christ. I want people to do good. And he said, yes, I think he kind of braced himself, but he right there in the street, right on my road. I just laid hands on him and prayed with him. And it was so precious. It was so beautiful. It was wonderful. Let's get finished here. I made a promise to you, and I better stick to it. Okay, now I would like to go to Isaiah chapter 54 and verse 17, please. Okay, now, this is for every born-again person if they'll let it be this way in your life. No weapon, listen, now, formed against you. Now, who forms those weapons? Does that happen by accident, or are they devil-inspired? They're devil-inspired. No weapon formed against. You notice I don't have to look at the pages. Why? Because I've got this in my heart, because I need it a lot. And I'm not, please read your Bible. I'm not bragging. I'm just telling you, this is how important this is. I've been able to quote this Bible verse when I had black hair even. That's been a while. No weapon formed against Angelo will prosper. And every tongue that raises up against me, Angelo will condemn, and God will back up my words. And I won't condemn them to people. I'll condemn them in my prayer closet just to get them off of me, you know. How many of you, there's some people, you tried nice and nice ain't working, you just like to get them off of you. Anybody else? Yeah, there's a few hands there. That's the truth. Some of you said, well, I'm not going to admit to that. But it's the truth. No weapon formed against you will prosper. And every tongue that rises against you in judgment, you will condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. And they're called servants in the Old Testament. And their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. We graduate, we're all kids. We're all God's kids in the New Testament. That's what that, only the cross could bring that about. And that's what the cross has brought about for you and I. I'm preaching a message, piercing the darkness. We have to pierce the darkness. Mike, could I please have 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 and 5? I'm almost done, guys. I really am. For the weapons of our warfare, they're not natural or carnal. Carnal there means natural. It's not guns and bullets and knives and beating somebody in an argument. But they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Your weapon is the name of Jesus, if you know it. It's learning how to pray and use the name of Jesus. It's the only name under heaven given to men by which we can be saved. From henceforth, you won't ask me anything else. You'll ask my Father in my name. That's the proper thing. Well, why do we got to be proper? I don't know. I'm not going to take a chance. You do what you want to. But I'm going to do it the way Jesus said to do it. And that's the way he said to pray. And when you pray, Lord, teach us how to pray. as John's disciples taught his disciples how to pray, he said, all right, when you pray, and he started off with the most important thing, our Father. See, if you're born again, he's your dad. You know, in the Word, Jesus said, call no man Father except for God. Now, I don't know what to say about that, but it's in there. I think you know that too. Who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. Nevertheless, here's Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Nevertheless, Father, not my will, but your will be done. It's the hardest thing for people to do is give up your will. It's the hardest sell in America. I've sold fire alarms and a few other things. My mind escapes me what all they were. But the hardest sell on the planet is to sell somebody on the idea of an invisible God that wants everything that you have and wants to give you everything that he has. That's a hard sell. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. The weapons we have will pull down all of the devil's strongholds. And if you think about this and ask God to show you this, you really don't have a human enemy. Your enemy is the powers of darkness that we talked about earlier just a few moments ago. Casting down imaginations, okay, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. This is talking about an inner war that people have. We have to learn how to cast down imaginations, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and we need to bring into captivity. If we're thinking about lust with somebody else or adultery, we have to, with our mouth open, say, I'm not going to think that anymore. I'm not going to think those thoughts. Those thoughts will not get me where I want to go. Those thoughts are sin. Would you say, everybody that will say with me, certain thoughts are sin. Amen. See, it's not like you can do whatever you want and still everything's going to be hunky-dory. That's just not the truth. Okay. Now, this is a service. Communion services is one of the places where you learn how to take every thought into captivity. See, if you're going to get over a problem, if it starts with a thought, and most do, you're going to have, when you make an altar tonight, say, Lord, I condemn myself. That's wrong for me to even think that. It starts with a thought, doesn't it? That's hard to say. See, this isn't the kindergarten Christianity I'm preaching up here. This is the heart of the meat of the thing. This is the prime rib of the whole deal. Can you be honest with yourself and be honest with God? Because make no mistake, when you get on your knee, the only one that's there with you is you and God. And that's what it takes. And you can do it. Everybody in this room can do it. I've seen a multitude of people do it. You can do it. Say, I can do it. Say, Bro A says I can do it. Say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Philippians 4:13, last verse tonight. I preached some of you weary. I said, oh my God, I didn't want to hear all of that. 1 John chapter 5, and we'll close here tonight. Verses 14 and 15. Says this, and this is the confidence that we have in God, that if we ask anything according to his will, everybody says his will, not my will. See, this is hard. Is this easy? No, this isn't easy. This is not easy, but this is the truth. We know if we ask anything according to his will, I dare you to get on your knees and say, God, and name off one or two things and say, God, change my heart on these things. Help me to be a different person. That if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know. See, we know. You can't get prayers answered unless you know. that we have the petitions that we desired of him. Can we just take a moment? Let's examine our hearts. Let's make an altar somewhere. You can come up here and stay where you are, or just sit there and don't do anything at all. That's up to you. But if there's anything in there that shouldn't be, ask God, confess it to God and ask him to help you with it.